When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter said, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Remember what we're doing this Lent season. We are sitting with Jesus and the disciples as they sit in the upper room that last night. We are hearing their lessons that they are receiving from Jesus. We're picking up parts of that evening. And so today, we're starting at the end of one interaction and then picking up the beginning of another. And we get this lesson. And the way, if you remember, we're writing it like this: I love you and. And this lesson is, I love you and I am the way. Now, this lesson is a little bit more obtuse or a little bit more opaque than other lessons, which is very much in Jesus' style. Jesus likes to tell things that are a little bit opaque. But this one is a little bit more difficult because you have to ask yourself, what is the way? What does Jesus mean by saying, "I am the way"? And Jesus, in true Jesus fashion, doesn't answer. He doesn't tell them what he means by "I am the way," just that "I am the way." I am the way. Here's a thing that I did last night. As I was sitting at my computer, I was like, I wonder if there is a roadmap to church leadership. And so I went on what is basically one step below God, Google, about as omniscient as God, and I looked up how to grow your church. And by God, there were hundreds of articles telling you how to grow your church. On the first page of results, there was an article that was, "Do not do these things. These things will not grow your church." And wouldn't you know it, if you read to the bottom of the article, there were five more articles telling you what you could do. There are articles all over the place, roadmaps, tip sheets, guides that will tell you how to grow your church. All over the place. You can find it. And it's the same thing with worship. If I were to sit down at the computer or tell you all to pull out your smartphones, who have them, and look up what is good worship, you'd find hundreds of articles on how to do good worship, how to bring people into your sanctuary, how to get people to sit in the pews. And I can tell you some things that aren't going to be on those lists. You're not going to read an old priest reading the Mass with a catch in his throat. You're not going to read having your pastor just sit down and cry because he just can't take it anymore. You're not going to read having people sing old hymns in a monotone way to an electric organ that 3 out of 4 keys don't work. You're not going to read these in the lists of what is good worship. These aren't the things you're going to get into how to be relevant, how to bring people into your sanctuary, how to grow your church. And I have to say, that article that said what not to do about church, they put in my mind this goal of having more than 200 people in worship. That's the goal. That's the ultimate thing you're looking for, more than 200 people in worship. But there's not a roadmap. There are roadmaps that people have used that work in their specific context, that do what they need to do. There are guides that did work for some churches. And all of these things have some truth to them. There are some real spirit-filled good lessons in them, some things that I believe, some things I think are good. But there is no guide. There is no guide to how to be a good church or how to be a good Christian. No path to follow. Let's go back to that upper room. Let's go back to Jesus sitting with his disciples and think about where those disciples find themselves that night. Jesus is lounging with them and he's telling them that he is going to leave. At 33 years old without a plan, leaving cannot be a good thing. He tells them that he's going to his Father's house, which is not in Jerusalem and is not in Fort Wayne. He's going to his Father's house. And he's telling them, you know how to get to where I'm going, but he doesn't tell them where it is. He doesn't tell them what the path. All he tells them is, I am the way. That's all he gives them. I am the way. Imagine their discomfort in that moment. They might not know all the details, but they can tell that this isn't going to end well for them. Nothing good is going to come from Jesus leaving. Nothing good is going to come from the feeling of abandonment that they're going to feel. Nothing good, they're already in danger. I can't imagine what they're feeling in that moment. And that's just when they're up in the upper room. Think about what happens over the next few hours. It's going to take Peter 5 hours to deny Jesus 3 times. Judas is going to do something horrific that he's not able to live with himself. They are going to scatter to the 5 winds. Only one of them is going to be at the foot of the cross. They're going to scatter and hide and fear for their lives. And Jesus' only instruction to them, it appears, is I am the way. And even after he comes back, he only gives them so much, but he cannot give them a roadmap because a roadmap for what they're going to do doesn't exist. There is no trodden path. If there was, they would serve no purpose. Their ministry has no roadmap. There is no path for them to follow. But he does, and it almost feels like a throwaway. He does give them some really solid instruction. Love each other. I have loved you, so love each other. There is no path to this life. There is no path to ministry. There is only one thing that we can do, and that is follow Christ and love each other. The world may tell us that there's a path. We hear so much about getting on the straight and narrow and following exactly what you're supposed to do. But there is no trodden path to life and ministry. There is only following Christ. And so, as we reflect upon ourselves this month and this season, as we look inward, as we seek God's call in our life, may we not be seeking a roadmap with instructions. May we not be seeking what has worked somewhere else, what is guaranteed to get us going in the right path. Instead, may we take this lesson that Christ gave his disciples that night. I am the path. Love each other. I love you, and I am the way. Follow me. Love each other and follow Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.